so much older then. I'm younger than that now.
This is Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton. And I think no matter our age, we all at times ponder the big question. What is the meaning of life? Well, here's what we know for sure. We come to this life without any material possessions, and we leave it without any material possessions. But can we take lessons learned? Can we take personal and spiritual growth with us to wherever we're headed next? There are many religions that believe just that. Personally, I want to believe that some form of who we are and what we've learned survives the body and goes with us wherever we're headed next. I do want to believe that there is an imperative, an incentive to continue to experience, to learn, to grow, and to evolve. And if there is, then that makes ageism and ageist behavior even more tragic, because experience is only gained through action, through engagement, through trying and failing and trying again. But our culture doesn't encourage new experience as we age. In fact, it encourages us to stay put, to stay where we are. It tells us that we've lived our life, we've played the game, and the clock has run out. We put a cap on our ability to continue experiencing at a time when our ability to gain wisdom from experience is stronger than ever. We succumb to society's ageist messaging, and instead of actively seeking out new adventure, new opportunity, we retreat to the couch and we anesthetize ourselves with passive entertainment. The enemy that we all face as we age is inactivity, physical inactivity, social inactivity, and spiritual inactivity. So let's get active. Our first guest today is a Stanford graduate who became a firefighter before writing a memoir that's called Fighting Fire, and that basically ignited a very impressive writing career. She's the author of the New York Times bestseller Gutsy Girl, Escapades for Your Life of Epic Adventure. She wrote You Are Mighty, a guide to changing the world that teaches kids how to have a positive impact on their communities. Her TED Talk, titled To Raise Brave Girls, Encourage Adventure, has now been viewed over 2 million times. And her latest is a fascinating book called Tough Broad, From Boogie Boarding to Wing Walking, How Outdoor Activity Improves Our Lives as We Age. Welcome, Carolyn Paul. And Carolyn, how you doing today?
Good. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
We're thrilled to have you. Thank you for your time. I know you got to be really busy. Congratulations on a great book. And I know while the message of your book certainly does apply to men, it features and is focused on women. What led you to write the book?
You know, I was approaching 60. I was in my mid-50s. And I remember specifically that I was outside surfing. And I looked around and I was the only woman my age by far. And there were men out there in the winter surf that were my age and older, but no women. And I'm not that good a surfer, to be honest. And I knew there were a lot of women who were better, and yet they weren't out there. And that made me start to wonder about my own future aging and how I was supposed to live it. And so I started this quest to ask to first of all do research on healthy aging and then find out how outdoor adventure helps us or not.
And you know, it's really kind of a double whammy, because older women have to overcome both the ageist beliefs in our culture and the sexist beliefs that they're not suited for outdoor adventure. And as you mentioned, Caroline, you've lived a life of adventure. You hang out with adventurous people. That said, was there anything that surprised you during the writing of this book?
Well, two things surprised me. I think I went on this quest to ask women who were, you know, of a certain age, over 50, kind of generally. But I mean, I did the gamut. I interviewed a base jumper who was 52. And base jumping is, some of you probably know, but many of you might not, is when you hurl yourself off a cliff and then open a parachute about 5 or 10 seconds down, hopefully. And it's considered one of the most dangerous sports in the world. So I interviewed Sean Brokman for that. She's an amazing 52-year-old base jumper. But I also went hiking with a 93-year-old. Actually, I was so nervous about going on a hike with her that I asked her to simply do a walk with me. And she was a little bit I wouldn't say disgusted, but she was not impressed by me. But I also went scuba diving with an 80-year-old, and then I also went bird watching. So I think what I really realized is that outdoor adventure is in the eye of the beholder. And as long as you're feeling exhilarated, you're feeling physically vital, and you're exploring, and hopefully also maybe challenging your brain and doing something novel, you are engaging in adventure. So while I'm a paraglider and was a firefighter, was a whitewater rafter, some people think that my idea of adventure is extreme, and it really modified during the writing of this book. I got such respect for people who just get outside any way they can, because it turns out it's really all an adventure.
You know, thank you for saying that and defining that. I don't know how much you know about Growing Boulder, but we're pretty much kindred spirits in that we've built a business telling the stories of ordinary people that are living extraordinary lives into their 80s and 90s and 100s. And I always feel compelled to have to offer, you know, this disclaimer. We're not trying to turn you into a skydiver or a rodeo rider or a triathlete. If you can do that and want to do that, great. We're just trying to help you understand that more is possible, that we can all expand the boundaries of possibility if only we believe that more is possible. And I know, Caroline, that's a big part of your book and a big part of what you write about it. And that is that we have to change our belief system about what's possible. What did you find about the women? It just seems some of us can't do it, and some of us just don't think about it. You know, they're just out there doing it. Nobody had to tell them to do it. How are some older women able to get out there and live the kind of lives that you report on, and others can't do it?
Well, Mark, I was really interested in the messaging that we get as we age. And I think it applies to men, but I'm not exactly sure how. So it's really, I was looking at how the toxic messaging that women get about our own aging. I mean, we really become, we are told at least that we are increasingly irrelevant. We're definitely, have to worry about our breaking bones. We're on a, downhill slide cognitively. I mean, it's kind of a white knuckle ride, we're told. And yet, honestly, I didn't feel that way. I looked around and I saw my friends bemoaning their aging, but I didn't feel that way because frankly, I had a mom who blossomed after 40, after 50, and then after 60. And so I knew that aging was going to be a time of real growth and adventure for me. I mean, I knew that on one part of me, but of course, the other part of me, you can't help but be affected by this messaging. When I went on my quest to find out, exactly how outdoor adventure can help us, I was really interested in how these women use the outdoors as an antidote against that. And the truth is, these people are not like stronger or better than we are. They just simply go outside and engage in an activity. And just doing that is a rebuke to all the messaging, because come on, my mom got on a bike when she was 62 and she had very little outdoor experience, but just getting on a bike at 62 is kind of laughing in the face of all the messaging that says, hey, you're not fun anymore. You don't want to be exhilarated anymore. You're certainly not physically vital anymore. And there was my mom entering 100-mile races and having really the time of her life, honestly.
We're talking with Caroline Paul, who has written a book called Tough Broad, From Boogie Boarding to Wing Walking. So much to unpack in what you just said. I love that your book is a beautiful combination of both the latest research in science and psychology, but your narrative is driven by the examples of people that we can relate to. And as you just noted, it was the example of your mother that led you to believe that you could age in a way that many people can't. So I guess the question here is, who did you write the book for? Because we tell stories. We did a story on a 105-year-old woman who became the oldest human to compete in a sanctioned track and field event. And we certainly didn't do the story for other 105-year-old women. We did it for 30 and 40-year-old women who could now see that more is possible. Did you write it for any particular age group, Caroline, or is it just a big net and everybody can get something to eat?
No. I wrote it for me. This was my own personal quest. I mean, I really was discovering things as it wasn't just a device. I went and I actually was very, you know, certain that when I went, for instance, to interview Miss Kitty, Kitty Weston-Naur is the oldest BMX bike racer today. She's 74. And I was interested in how like a competitive sport might help us neurologically, neurally maybe, you know, like fire our brain or something. I felt like I'd done enough research where I could slot these outdoors adventures in. But I was continually surprised by the women that I met. So with Miss Kitty, I went with an idea that I was going to write about, you know, the sort of highly vital sort of cutthroat ways that maybe competitive sports like triathlons and in this case, BMX biking can make us, you know, sharper or more interesting. And instead, what I found was that even though BMX bike racing is an individual sport, when Miss Kitty put me on a bike and showed me the track, I found that it was really about community. So I was constantly being surprised. And so in a lot of ways, this, and similarly, can I say, when I went bird watching, I have to say that, you know, as a high adrenaline adventure, I thought that I would be, frankly, a little bored. But I found that bird watching has all the rhythms of an adventure. There's exhilaration, there's anticipation, there's, you know, stretches of boredom. There's definitely physical vitality as we walked. In this case, we walked 6 miles. Actually, I was with Virginia Rose, who is in a wheelchair and has been since she was 14 and had started this organization called Birdability, which opens up bird watching to people with physical disabilities. And I went thinking, okay, bird watching would be a great adaptive way to get out there. And it is, because obviously Virginia wheeled the 6 miles while I walked it. But more than that, it really was a way to get in the present. And again, it was community. There were so many aspects. Oh, and it was adventure, which just blew my mind as someone who, you know, prefers really to get in a gyrocopter and fly from Seattle to Petaluma, California kind of thing. So I wrote the book for me, but really I wrote the book for 50 and above. I'm not really trying to talk to the younger generations who definitely think that, you know, life pretty much ends after 40, because frankly, I was one of those people. So I'm not really that interested in trying to convince anybody. I want to talk to my peers who might think that aging is not a time of growth and vitality and just say, look at these women. If you get outside, you activate your, you know, your best self is when you're exploring. That's what Virginia Rose told me. And over again, also these, when I asked, the women said, oh, the best decade of my life, the 60s, not the 20s, not the 30s, you know, not when you're sort of supposedly in your prime. No, the 60s, because it was such an amazing intersection of physical health and wisdom, frankly.
That's a message that we all need to spread and absorb. And I'm glad you mentioned community, Caroline, because, you know, you write about the five pillars, as you call them, of fulfilling aging. And I can't tell you the number of companies we've dealt with that have, you know, the eight keys, the eight pillars, the seven, whatever it is. I love your five pillars, the five pillars to fulfilling aging. Community is one of them. Can you mention the other four that you have put together and, you know, kind of support your notion that outdoor adventure may be the single best solution for a longer and a happier life?
And I will say that I never actually go say in the book, the five pillars. I wish I had, but again, this was a journey of discovery. So it was kind of after putting the whole book together that I realized, oh, look, there's five incredibly important foundational, you know, things we should include in our lives. But everyone, if you read the book, will definitely get it. So it's community for sure. Novelty. I'm very interested in the way allegedly our brain starts to diminish as we age. And in fact, you know, if you look at the new science, that is not true at all. But we definitely want novelty in our lives, not just for our brain health, which definitely it will boost, but also our own emotional well-being. So novelty, of course, new things. I mean, when was the last time you learned something new? I had to really think, oh my gosh, I haven't learned something new in decades. And that was true for many of my peers. We think we know what we like and we just stay there, which is fine. But novelty is, so I interviewed someone who was learning to swim And it was, it was sort of eye-opening. So that, sorry, I'm getting off. I'm so excited about the five pillars that I'm getting off track. But it's community, novelty, health. So obviously outdoor adventure. The physical health you get is pretty clear. It's exercise. But more than that, the outdoors has been shown to be incredibly medicinal, from the birdsong that we hear to the tree chemicals emitted if you walk in the forest. I mean, this is all well documented, that the biology of nature fits and calms our biology. And, a lot of countries around the world, they actually subsidize trails and outdoor places for the people because they know how good it is for them on just a complete well-being, overall well-being. So you can go to the gym. I'm all for going to the gym. I love the gym. But going outside gives you the physical vitality that is just more organic, more whole. Okay, so where am I? Purpose.
Purpose is a big one. Purpose is the fuel that inspires active longevity. But the other one that you have mentioned, but not in that summation, I think if I pulled them all together in your book, is our belief system, our mindset about how we age. How important is that? You came to it organically because of the example that your mother provided. But we always say that what the mind believes, the body embraces. Our psychology drives our physiology. Whatever you put into your mind is going to end up in your body. And that the first key for anybody and everybody that wants to change the way they're going to age is somehow we got to change our belief system about what's possible. How do you get people to do that?
Well, so first of all, the science is pretty clear on this, is that the way we believe we will age predicts how we will age. So, we are liable, if we have a really positive view on our aging, we are going to have any cognitive issues much later, heart issues much later, and it's the opposite if you actually have a negative view on your own aging, that you will become sick and frail. Then you actually get heart attacks earlier, cognitive decline earlier. I mean, the upshot is that if you have a positive view on aging, then you supposedly live an average of 7.5 years longer. And that's not just, that's healthy living. And this intrigued me. And so I was wondering, okay, it's all fine and good to say, have a positive mindset, but affirmations are not going to do it, because the messaging we get is just so pervasive from, the media, the dating apps, and our own beliefs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to look at myself. And so I really believe that if you get outside and practice an outdoor activity, that is the single most antidote for turning your whole perspective around on aging, because it lodges in you and you embody a positive view about aging. And again, as I said before, it's a direct rebuke. Everything you're feeling when you're outside proves all that messaging is wrong. And of course, this is all very subliminal, which is probably the most powerful way to absorb things. And it works. I mean, I see my mom, the way she blossomed in her later life. And I know myself, I'm just happier and in better shape and just better as I and I'm 60 right now. So, and I feel great.
Happier, healthier, and better at age 60 than at any time in her life. And we hear the same thing from men and women in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, all the time. In fact, we even hear it from centenarians. You can quote all the statistics that you want about opportunity, the possibility of our later decades being unbelievably extraordinary, but there is nothing as powerful or as impactful as hearing it from those who are actually living it themselves. We'll get back to our conversation with Caroline Paul in a moment to learn how we can all embark on an adventurous life of our own. Also still ahead, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer still living large in his 80s, and the award-winning teacher and fashion industry executive turned champion sprinter. This is Growing Bolder.
Support for Growing Bolder provided by
Advent Health Well 65 Plus, primary care designed for those on Medicare or Medicare Advantage plans, featuring 30 to 60 minute appointments and 24-hour care team access from a nationally renowned network. Advent Health Well 65 Plus, primary care that gets better with age.
Welcome back. This is Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton, and we're talking today with New York Times bestselling author Caroline Paul, whose latest book is Tough Broad, From Boogie Boarding to Wing Walking, How Outdoor Adventure Improves Our Lives as We Age. Paul is one of three remarkable siblings, so let's pick up our conversation as I ask her about growing up in what had to be an amazing household. You must have had an amazing childhood, because if I may, your identical twin is the actress and the activist Alexandra Paul, probably best known for her work on Baywatch. Your brother Jonathan Paul is an animal rights leader, actively engaged in animal liberation. Both have done jail time multiple times for their activism. And you yourself say that this book that we're talking about today, Tough Broads, is your version of a climate change book, your version of climate activism. What's it like to be part of your amazing family?
Well, I'm so proud of my siblings. And it's funny because we actually grew up, I mean, very privileged, for sure. I feel very lucky to be healthy. I'm Caucasian. My dad worked hard for us. I have to say that I lived a privileged upbringing, but also my parents wanted us to try everything. So we had what I think a lot of people who listen will recognize is a kind of a free range childhood. We were told to get on our bikes and come back at dark. We didn't really interact a lot with adults, and we learned to play ourselves. And my parents wanted us to try everything, not because they thought that it would make us somehow, you know, better people. I don't think those concepts of, oh, if you go outside, you'll be, you'll learn resilience. That vocabulary, I don't remember that being present. I think my mom would agree that they simply wanted us to be able to make decisions as we got older, for what we wanted to do. So we skated, we sledded, we bicycled, we learned an instrument, we went to church so that we could make decisions later. And I feel very lucky, but it wasn't, we were not special in any way, I will say. I mean, we were well loved and cared for. But I think a lot of people would recognize that childhood.
I don't want to take advantage of your generosity in sharing so much time with us, Caroline Paul. So let's kind of begin to land this thing. But give us a tip, if you will, on how we can get started. How can those who are just sitting on the couch, don't have the motivation, the energy to get up and get going, how can we embark on an adventurous life?
Well, first know that it doesn't have to be something that's high adrenaline. You don't have to jump out of a plane and skydive. You can. I'd be psyched if you did, for sure. But, one of my Cynthia Hicks, who actually did, she's the one that went walking on the wing of a plane, which I eventually had to do as well, since she had done it. And she was 72. And I was not very happy about doing it, frankly, because I was a pilot and thought, why am I getting up out of this perfectly good cockpit onto the wing of a plane? But it turned out to be a really eye-opening and mind-blowing experience, a very odd outdoor adventure. But she told me the way she finds her adventures, and she goes on a lot of mini adventures. No surprise, she had already bungee jumped. She was a scuba diver. But she simply types in to the search bar on her computer, something fun to do here. And whenever she travels, to see if there's something new that will pique her adventurous spirit. And another thing I learned is that enlist a friend, because I interviewed two people who were learning to swim. And one woman didn't actually accomplish it because her fear of swimming was too much. And I completely get it. Sometimes an outdoor adventure isn't for you. She still learned a lot on the way to trying to learn to swim. And I think it was a real eye-opening and heart-opening experience for her. But I also talked to Vijaya Srivastava, and she had learned to swim at a later age with no out outdoor experience behind her. And I think the reason she succeeded and is an avid swimmer today is that she enlisted a friend. And when you enlist a friend, you feel not only are you sharing with somebody, and if you're nervous about, in this case, drowning, which Vijaya certainly was, you can have a friend to help you, to help, you know, cheerlead you, and you're accountable to. So, you know, enlist a friend. And lastly, say yes when somebody offers, like, let's go on a walk. Take my bike. Can we go around the block? Just say yes.
Great tips. And final question, I promise you, is there a big picture takeaway? And maybe not necessarily, Caroline, from the book, but maybe from the book of life, if you will. What's the moral of the story? What's the key to leading a life, living a life that is meaningful?
I had to write a whole book about that, Mark. But I will say,
I'll read it.
I want to just reemphasize how important our mindset is. And I know it's hard to change our mindset, but it affects us physiologically. It affects us emotionally. And so whatever you can do, surround yourself with just positive reminders of how powerful you are, because it's true, for one. But there's all this very subtle and very toxic messaging that many, many of us get. But specifically what I'm concerned about is older women in this case. So yeah, your mindset is key.
Our thanks to Caroline Paul. Her book is Tough Broad, a passionate call for all, especially women, to embrace outdoor adventure and reap the many rewards for the rest of their lives. When we return, we'll go Boulder backstage with a rock and roll legend, now in his 80s, still performing, still recording, and happier and healthier than ever. This is Growing Boulder.
Sign up for the Growing Boulder Insider newsletter, delivered to your inbox every week. Be the first to see our latest interviews, stories, and tips for making each day count. Sign up today at growingboulder.com. Miss an episode of Growing Boulder Radio? Subscribe to our podcast and get it on your mobile device. Details at growingboulder.com/podcasts. In a soldier's stance, I aim my hand at the mongrel dogs who teach. Fearing not, I've become my enemy in the instant.
So much older than I'm younger than that now.
Welcome back. This is Growing Boulder. Over the years, we've done many stories on our friend Roger McGuinn. Roger was a founding member of the Byrds and credited with creating country rock, psychedelic rock, and popularizing the jingle jangle sound of the 12-string guitar. His influence is still widely felt today. Roger is now in his 80s, still recording and still touring, but not like he used to. There's no band, no bus, no entourage, and no drugs. In this Growing Boulder backstage exclusive, Bill Schaefer sits down with Roger and learns, among other things, how Elvis Presley's death at 42 changed Roger's life at 35.
Wow, Roger McGuinn is kind of like the Forrest Gump of music. He's been at all the right places at the right times, and it's true.
Well, these days, the right place for McGuinn includes zipping around on a scooter, tinkering with a solar device, or just sitting at his computer. But back in the 60s, as a founding member of the Byrds, he was in one of the hottest rock bands on the planet. Hits like Mr. Tambourine Man and Turn, Turn, Turn sealed his legacy as one of the most influential musicians of his era. Back then, he was 8 miles high. Today, he's over 8 decades old. You'd probably think he misses those days, but not really.
You've got to know, Roger, that so many people have a hard time wrapping their heads around that. Like, they think this guy was in one of the biggest bands in the history of rock and roll. Those must be the glory days. Those must be the days that he yearns for.
Well, you could look at it that way. I remember, though, I was I do lectures, and I was at a school, and one of the students said, well, what was the best thing you ever did in the music business? And I said, get out of it.
He didn't get completely out, just far enough that what he does is entirely up to him.
Ramblin' Jack Elliott told me once that the most fun he ever had was when he threw the guitar in the back of the Land Rover and he and his wife barnstormed around the country. And I said, man, that sounds like fun compared to what I had been doing, which was kind of a grind with the band. And so I said, I want to do that.
And that's what he's been doing. Just Roger and his wife Camilla, traveling together, taking it slow, touring the country, enjoying the view. It's been a while since McGuinn's been 8 miles high, and he's just fine with that.
Well, do you miss it? And I don't. I really don't. Because what I'm doing is so fulfilling. I do these about 2-hour concerts, and I tell stories, and it's the story of my life. You've seen the show, so you know what it is. And it's just fun for me.
And take me disappearing through. And David Crosby said, I don't like it, man. I don't like it. It's that folky 2-4 time. It's never going to play on the radio.
What do you feel? What do you remember from back then? What stayed with you?
Well, I think what really hit me was the excitement when we were first getting it together in 1964. We were just kind of all from different parts of folk music, and the Beatles had come out, and we were inspired by the movie A Hard Day's Night, and we wanted to do that because it looked like so much fun, and it was. And we got to do it, and we got a number one, and we got to meet the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and it was just incredible, you know. And then it kind of went downhill from there. And so I like to say that The Byrds was a nice 9-year detour from what I really wanted to do, was be like Pete Seeger and tell stories and get people to sing along.
He didn't just want to do it, he needed to. Because when he says it went downhill, what he means is the rock and roll lifestyle nearly destroyed him.
Well, and I think drugs had a profound effect on it.
So at first, drugs were good, glorified, and then we kind of saw that they really weren't?
It doesn't make it better. Maybe it makes you think it's better while you're doing it, but it's not better. I was doing those drugs. I was doing amphetamines and downers and Quaaludes and all kinds of stuff, and smoking pot and doing cocaine at the same time. And so Elvis was 7 years older than I was when he died. I was 35. He was 42. And I went, man, I better clean up my act. Gene Clark died, Michael Clark, Greg Thomas, my old drummer. Skip Batten, almost everybody I ever worked with.
And did you feel like you were headed on a collision course with an early death too?
Well, that's what the impression I got when Elvis died. Yeah, that was a feeling. And I started to see behind the sugar coating, I started to see evil for what it was.
McGuinn turned to religion. Not only did it save him, it guided him to his wife and to his many passions. And here's something you may not know. It inspired him to create one of the greatest archives of traditional folk music found anywhere.
The origin of the Folk Den was to put songs up on the internet for free download and put the chords and the lyrics and the story about the song and a little picture to go along with it, like a coffee table book. 1, 2, 3.
That land, come go with me to that land, come go with me to that land where I'm bound.
Finding really good ones can get tricky, and so far there are 320 on my website, McGuinn.com, in the Folk Den section sponsored by UNC Chapel Hill as a public service.
It's an unexpected treasure of the roots of music.
Yeah, well, it's still a labor of love for me. Not everybody knows about it.
27 years every month.
Yeah.
Offering a brand new song that we can download and take with us. How long do you want to keep doing that?
Well, as long as I can. It's same with performing. It's like, how long do you want to keep performing? I love it. I want to quit doing something I love.
It's a great question, and McGuinn does seem truly timeless. Not only is it hard for us to remember that he's in his 80s, but you get the feeling that he doesn't think about age very often himself.
Oh, well, it's a shock, and it's a kind of a fun surprise. I feel great. But I'm 80. And, well, the good thing is a lot of people look at me and say, oh, come on, man, you must be kidding. So that's nice.
What would 25-year-old Roger McGuinn have thought of 80-year-old Roger McGuinn?
Wouldn't it? It never occurred to me. It just never occurred to me. Well, back in the day, we didn't think we were going to live past 30. That was old age. Never trust anybody over 30. 30 was it.
Is that the way you felt?
There was a generation gap that's it's still around. It's just not as pronounced as it was. But people over 30 were not of the same mental attitude.
And that may have been true back then,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think it was.
What if we put some of that Bach-like stuff on the front of Mr. Tambourine Man and kick it up with a Beatle beat? It might come out okay for radio.
Even at 80, nothing about Roger McGuinn seems old. His curiosity, his passion, his excitement for life is palpable, and maybe that's his message. He's fully aware how special his life has been, which is why he plans to keep touring. Telling his story is not just one of his greatest joys. Audiences everywhere love it too.
It's the soundtrack of their lives, and it makes them feel young and happy. And you could say, well, that's just nostalgia, but it's therapeutic for people.
And who better than you to do it? You do a great job with it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill Schaefer, and thank you, Roger McGuinn, for your continued example of growing bolder into your 80s. Roger is among a rapidly growing number of people beyond what is considered normal retirement age that are active, engaged, and happier and healthier than ever. And it's not just luck or some sort of genetic blessing. In fact, the biggest determinant in how we all age is lifestyle. And it's never too soon or too late to make the kind of changes that can have a dramatic impact. Pete Cherlante and his wife Grace are a perfect example of the importance of active lifestyle. They're both in their 70s, happier than ever, and they say it's all because of their lifestyle and their great health care.
I try to do something every day to like raise my heart rate, to expend energy.
The things I like to do active-wise are mountain biking, water skiing, wakeboarding, jet skiing, snow skiing, and be active in my community. We play pickleball. That's another one we do.
The list of physical activities that Pete Cherlante and his wife Grace engage in goes on and on. An ageist culture would lead most to believe that your 70s are a time to withdraw from life, just to relax. But not for Pete and Grace. A life of adventure is all they've ever known.
When we first met, it was like meeting my alter ego, my soulmate, because we both drove Volkswagen 68 Beetles. We both played racquetball, and we both skied.
Scuba divers.
And it was like, well, everything I brought up, he did. Now it's still the same.
She expels a tremendous amount of energy. So it is great to feed on that energy.
He has to remind me sometimes that how old I am. Like I went back to roller skating. You're going to hurt something. Oh, well, I want to do it.
Grace and Pete have crafted a routine for healthy aging, which they have paired with primary care specifically designed for older adults at Advent Health Well 65 Plus.
They really focus on seniors. They have that attention. They have that definitely understanding of who you are and your age and what your needs may be. And that's what I found when I came here.
Advent Health Well 65 Plus focuses on whole person care, specifically for adults over 65. They give their patients a care team that includes care coordinators, registered nurses, pharmacists, and social workers. The end result is a personal relationship in which the patient gets individualized care specific to their lifestyle, all in one location.
we are fairly healthy, but I have noticed that, like, over the last 6 years or so, that things pop up more frequently than they used to. But they're there for you when you need it. The quick phone call, quick appointment, or even getting back to you on the phone if they need to, and they do.
Pete and Grace still spend part of their time in Pennsylvania, but the personalized care that they've received at their Well 65 Plus practice has fit so well with their lifestyle that they plan their appointments to align with the months that they're in Florida. Their advice to others?
Don't stop doing things. Don't give up. Don't, you know, because you can't, you know, you have a little setback and you stop doing a sport, you know, like, don't give it up totally. I'm just going to keep doing what I do. I don't have any plans to slow down.
Pete and Grace are showing us all what's possible. And of course, you don't have to be a water skier or even an athlete of any kind. Just find a way to keep active that you enjoy and take care of yourself with regular doctor visits. There are 9 Advent Health Well 65 Plus locations across Central Florida and growing. More information at AdventHealthWell65Plus.com. Coming up, meet a woman who made a promise to her dying husband that changed her life and led to new adventures.
Stay connected to Growing Boulder for daily doses of hope, inspiration, and possibility. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for our latest stories and motivational pictures.
Embrace the health and longevity movement with the Fountain of Youth monthly e-newsletter. Growing Boulder and the National Senior Games Association have teamed up to bring you the latest videos, podcasts, and articles on inspirational masters athletes and the many benefits of physical activity delivered right to your inbox. Just go to nsga.com/connect to sign up for free today. The Fountain of Youth, because if you want to keep moving, you have to keep moving.
Welcome back. This is Growing Boulder. Madonna Hannah has been an achiever all her life as an award-winning teacher, author, and fashion executive. And in 2011, she added Sprinter to her list when, at the age of 57, her late husband began coaching her and she entered the Washington State Senior Games. After his death, Madonna kept her promise to him to keep running. She found a new coach in nationally ranked track athlete Marcus Chambers, and their work together helped Madonna achieve gold at the 2023 National Senior Games in Pittsburgh. And we were there at the finish line and spoke to Madonna and Marcus moments after she achieved her dream. Madonna Hannah is a woman of many talents. She's been an executive in the fashion industry, a 2-time High School Teacher of the Year in Washington State, an actor, playwright, and auctioneer, a children's book author, and a motivational speaker. Now in her 70s, she identifies mostly as a runner, something she never even thought about until she was 57. Her husband, Stephen, coached her until he passed away in 2018, and Marcus Chambers, a world-class sprinter himself, agreed to take over. Despite numerous setbacks, including a ruptured Achilles, she stuck with it, improving her strength, her balance, and her flexibility. She's competed in 4 National Senior Games, and in Pittsburgh, she took a personal best 5th in the 100 meters and finally achieved her goal of a gold medal in the 4x100 relay.
How does it feel to take home the gold?
I'm trying not to cry. I mean, I'm just so overwhelmed.
Why? Why does it mean that much?
This is my first national gold medal. This is my fourth time. This is my fourth time being here. And just to win, I put in all that hard work, 8 months, 5 days a week.
Your husband was your coach. Your husband passed away. Before he went, he said, Madonna, I know you got talent. I want to see you continue. I want to see you keep developing it. So you had to find a new coach. And son of a gun, did you find a new coach in Marcus Chambers, world-ranked national class sprinter. Marcus, what does it mean to you to see what you've helped her do?
I mean, honestly, it means the world to me. I wanted to help her reach her goals. And, you know, one of our goals was to come back with a gold medal. And we have a lot more records to break in the future and a lot more gold medals to bring home. But for now, seeing her and her reaction of winning this gold means the world to me.
Driven by passion, purpose, and a commitment she made to her late husband, Madonna Hannah continues to chase her dreams and says, you can too.
Just know that it's never too late. Absolutely never too late to get up and do something and be positive and be able to give to other people. And absolutely anything is possible. Just give yourself a chance and just go for it.
Marcus Chambers, I think she's coaching you right now.
Oh, yes, she is. She's taught me a lot on this journey. And, hey, we're going to keep it going.
We talk a lot about the power of intergenerational relationship, and I'm going to talk a lot more about it after meeting Madonna and Marcus. They are the perfect example of how both generations have something to learn from the other and are capable of inspiring one another. And folks, don't think it's been easy for Madonna. In addition to losing her husband, she was in a near-fatal car accident, and she ruptured her Achilles in 2014, bouncing back from all. And now at 70, she's happy, she's healthy, and she's wildly optimistic about her future. And she's optimistic because she knows there are countless things that interest her or might interest her, things she's never even imagined, like sprinting. And she knows that pursuing them is going to be a challenge and there will be setbacks, but she can overcome them. She knows that finding new passions leads to meeting new people, sharing new experiences, and ultimately to growing bolder, which is the key to a life well lived. I'm Mark Middleton.
The Growing Bolder Radio Show is a production of Growing Bolder, LLC, all rights reserved. This program was recorded at Growing Bolder Studios in Orlando and is available as a weekly podcast on NPR One, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. It is written and produced by Jill Middleton, Mark Middleton, and Bill Schaefer. Technical director is Jason Morrow. Production manager is Michael Nanis. Chief audio engineer is Mac Dula. And our most important team member, you. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to keep growing bolder every day.
Crimson flames tied through my ears, throwing high and mighty traps. Countless fire and flaming road, using ideas as my maps. We'll meet on edges soon, said I, proud neath heated brow. So much older than I'm younger than that now.
Half right prejudice leap for rip down all hate I scream. Lies that life is black and white spoke from my skull I dream. Romantic flanks of musketeers foundation deep.
So much older than I'm younger than that now.
In a soldier's stance, I aim my hand at the mongrel dogs who teach. Fearing not, I'd become my enemy in the instant that I preach. Sisters fled by confusion.
much older then, I'm younger than that now.
Deceived me into thinking I had something to protect. Good and bad, I defined these terms quite clear, no doubt, somehow.
Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now.